Welcome to the Whole Hog Podcast.
My main concern is I just want to do the best damn job I can for the University of Arkansas.
I got a question for you, though, Scotty. Do you know that there's other players on our team besides Desi?
Whoever we had on the plane is all we need. Turn that damn jukebox. Turn it up!
Now, here's your host, Seth Campbell.
Welcome into the Whole Hog Reaction Show. I am Seth Campbell, joined by Scotty Bordelon. A day late, but we got here, Scotty. And there's a lot to react to as the Razorbacks lose to the University of Florida. Now, we'll just get right into it, Scotty. The Razorbacks are a good football team. I think that I can be justified with how they have played throughout the season to say that they are a good football team. There's probably four teams to five teams in all of NCAA that can beat Florida. And Arkansas is just not at that level yet.
No, they're not. But Florida's really good. Like, we talked on the podcast last week, like, you and I were both like, I think Florida might be the team to beat in the SEC outside of Alabama. And then Florida goes out and just puts up almost 50 points on Georgia a few days later, and then Florida scores 63 on Arkansas. Like, that offense can score, I would probably say, on anybody. And I mean, that's, Arkansas is a good team. They're just, like you said, they're not there yet. Like, the defensive pieces, like, they've got some good players, but they don't have enough depth, enough talent all the way across the board. It's going to take probably an Alabama or an Ohio State to probably knock Florida's offense, you know, off track a little bit, and you know, for them to lose, it's going to take a really monumental defensive effort from an elite defense.
I think that Texas A&M lucked into getting Florida earlier in the year, because if Texas A&M's a good football team too, they're right in the conversation. They're probably becoming math wizards and everything else throughout the end of the season, trying to figure out how they can get into the college football playoff. But Texas A&M is a good team. Don't take anything away from them. But I think Matt said on the podcast a few days ago, you probably play that game 10 times and Florida's going to win 7 to 8 of them.
Right.
So, you know, I think Kyle Trask and the Florida offense just have gotten going. Like, they have found their groove. And Arkansas secondary, it showed. There are some weaknesses back there. You have Jalen Catalan, who is a hard-hitting safety that is, you know, I would take Jalen Catalan just about, especially as a freshman, or just about over anybody in the SEC in the secondary.
He's the key to that defense in the back end, for sure.
Besides that, you've got some holes, which is not a bad thing. Like, this team didn't win an SEC game for 2 years. There's going to be some deficiency. It's almost, sometimes you can almost forget that after going 3-3 to start the year, 4-2 if you say so. But this team was not picked to be where they are now. They weren't even supposed to win two games, much less three. So there's going to be some deficiencies, and that's where Sam Pittman and the defensive staff can go out and recruit some guys that can fill in those deficiencies. But, you know, just against Florida, they're the better team. And I know that Razorback fans, you know, don't necessarily want to hear that, but that's what happened. And that is what happened. And you're not there yet. But that's okay, because this is just year one of Sam Pittman.
Right.
And Sam Pittman didn't even get to coach that game.
Yeah. I think something else from Saturday, Florida's skill guys are really good. Like, Arkansas got the, I don't know if you want to call it the privilege, but they got to play Florida without Kyle Pitts, who might be up for the Biletnikoff Award and the Mackey Award. Like, he's been that good. I think there's only like one guy in the SEC that's got more touchdown catches than him. I think he plays for Alabama. So that kind of gives you an idea how good he is. But they've got, I mean, they're, Pitts' backups came in. One of his backups came in and caught two touchdowns. And then you talk about Trevon Grimes and Kadarius Toney. Like, those two, like, those guys are solid. And also, on top of, like, how good Florida's passing game was, they ran for the most yards in a game all season long, too. Like, I think Trask threw for 356 and 6 touchdowns. They also ran for 208 and a touchdown. And it wasn't just one guy who ran for 125 yards and a few other guys added 25 or 30 here and there. I mean, it was their leading rusher, I think, had close to 70 yards. And then it was, you know, several guys that had, you know, around 45 or 50 yards. And then a couple guys that combined for, you know, 70 yards. Like, it was just, it's really, really well-rounded offense. And I think when you've got that many skill guys, that many really talented guys on an offense, they're going to expose defenses where their weaknesses are. And I think that we saw a little bit of that.
I think that Florida is going to expose most defenses. Agreed. In the NCAA and most defenses in the SEC. But they did expose something. They get brought up to the Arkansas defense. You mentioned that they rushed for the most yards in a game. That I think that is Barry Odom doing the best of what he has when you look at the defense and what he was trying to do. And the fact of Florida is this dynamic offense that can throw the ball around everywhere. So what are you going to try and do? You're going to try and stop that pass. What has Arkansas done in its previous three wins? They've shut down the run. They made guys become impatient in the pocket. Mississippi State, you drop 8, rush 3. Ole Miss, same thing. Drop 8, rush 3. Both of those teams became impatient. Tennessee's a little bit different. They lost Garantano, and then also couldn't really throw the ball, so Arkansas could focus more on the run. But when you have a team that can do both, it really – if you have a team that can run the ball average, you can't play zone. You can't keep dropping back into zone. Eventually, you're going to have to play man-to-man, and Arkansas just couldn't keep up man-to-man with the receivers. Like you mentioned, DeTony, the backup to Kyle Pitts, like those are – caliber, like 5-star caliber receivers, all SEC caliber guys. That would
start on a lot of other teams in the league, for sure.
Like, you don't, yeah, in year 5 or 6 of Sam Pittman, you don't want to be having this conversation that we're having right now. You don't want to just have to be like shrug it off. You would like them to be more competitive. But in year 1, there's just nothing that you can, like, I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses for the coaching staff, because you would have liked to see them go out there and compete. I had a free shot at Florida, and they just came up empty. It is what it is.
Pretty much. And something else, I don't want to keep talking about Arkansas's defense too much, because, I mean, a lot of other defenses in the league are not going to have success against Florida's slowing Florida's offense. But
correct,
I don't think Bumper Pool and Grant Morgan had their best games the other day. I think I was – so looking at some Pro Football Focus grades earlier, and Bumper Pool, I think, was the lowest graded defensive player that Arkansas had Saturday. And that was his lowest grade of the season. And then Grant Morgan wasn't much better. He also graded, I think, he posted his lowest grade of the season too. So when those guys don't play as well, I think that's why Florida was able to get its run game going a little bit. Hayden Henry, I think, was a little bit dinged up in the game, and that's why Andrew Parker played probably as much as he has in his Arkansas career. So it kind of like that, we talk all the time about the defense starts with kind of Jonathan Marshall kind of in the middle on the defensive front, but I think Saturday kind of showed you just how important Bumper Pool and Grant Morgan are. If they're not playing really, really well, it can get pretty bad in terms of like your run defense.
That's good stuff. That's something that I didn't even really think about, was the game that Grant Morgan and Bumper Pool play, because they are responsible
Grant for some tackles. Still, like he graded really poorly, but he finished with like a team high or like a game high in tackles. Like he didn't have a bad game, but I don't think it was. You probably ask him. I mean, he's going to be straight up honest with you. Probably didn't play as well as he could have.
But we have harped a lot on the defense, so let's get to some positives. In a 63-35 game, which was the score, you know, you probably think that there were some garbage time points, but in all honesty, it looked like Arkansas's offense was better. They scored on explosive plays, which is good, something that we really haven't seen all year long. You know, an explosive play to Treylon Burks, I believe, in the first game against Georgia is one that comes out in my mind, but really besides that, not a lot of explosive plays. So I think that the offense – every week gets a few more wrinkles, and I just feel like every week the players get a little more comfortable with what they're doing, and they're executing it to a higher level.
I think a couple of the wrinkles that Arkansas should keep going to are hand the ball off to Traylon Smith and throw the ball to Mike Woods. Like, those are two pretty solid dudes. And Traylon Smith is really making his case for more playing time and like maybe a starting role. He's the last 3 weeks, he's been awesome. He went for career high 118 and a touchdown the other day. And he's so shifty and he's tough. Like, you see him make contact with multiple Florida defenders like 2 or 3 yards downfield, and he runs for 10 yards. I mean, that's just that kind of toughness. You love seeing that. And it's not to say that you're not getting good production from Rakeem Boyd. It's just not at that same level. I was really impressed on Rakeem's touchdown run. He made a couple of like just out of this world cuts to get into the end zone. That was encouraging. And then with Mike Woods, I don't know what happened between the first touchdown on the first drive and why his second catch didn't come until the fourth quarter. What happened in the second and third? I understand that, like, he was targeted on the first play of the second quarter on that fourth down play that you know, Arkansas didn't convert. But where was he in between there? And why was Traylon Burks' first catch at the end on the last play of the first half? Those are my two questions. But yes, I would agree with you. The offense, I feel like, is taking some steps each week in terms of like production and you know, maybe some chunk yardage, explosive plays.
I think that could be a product of the offensive line being more comfortable too, knowing their schemes. Felipe Franks getting comfortable running the RPOs. I think Arkansas, every single week gets better and better at the RPO game, where that's not really even with Franks keeping it and running it, but with Franks going to pull it out and throw it on that slant route that's been pretty common for that RPO package. I believe that they've continually gotten better with that. My thoughts on the running back for Arkansas, the running back position, Traylon Smith or Rakeem Boyd. Rakeem Boyd came into the season as your featured back. He was your number one. Traylon Smith has outperformed him so far to where I look at them now as not 1 and 2, but 1A, 1B. And the fact of, I'm not taking anything away from Rakeem Boyd, except for maybe a few more touches. Like, I'm sorry, Rakeem, but the way Traylon Smith is performing, he probably deserves about the same amount of touches as Rakeem Boyd does. And you can run both of those guys. You can do some, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if in these last three games, if we don't see a set maybe where you do have Traylon Smith and Rakeem Boyd in there at the same time. I just haven't been as impressed. Like, Rakeem Boyd is the Rakeem Boyd that we all remember from last year. But I don't know that he's taken an extra step, which was what I think in the offseason we were all thinking what would happen and kind of hoping what would happen is that he was good and that he would take another step. And I'm not sure, you know, I don't have any stats in front of me, Scotty, but I am not sure just from looking at him and watching every single snap of every single game this season that he has taken that next step. He's still good, but he hasn't improved to where he could be a top three back in the SEC.
Yeah, that's where we were thinking that he was. Like, he ranked in like the pecking order of the SEC running backs coming into the season. And you think about it now, like, Najee Harris is still clearly there. Kylin Hill was the guy that we probably put in front of Rakeem. He's not playing anymore. And then Rakeem's probably you look at the landscape of the league, he's probably not a top three back right now. I mean, there's so many good backs in the SEC. And I think Rakeem has had a really good game, and then he's had like a handful of wow moments this season. And I think Traylon Smith has had multiple solid games, and he's also had a handful of like wow moments and tough runs and plays that just kind of make you shake your head. Like, we haven't seen that kind of running ability from a back in a while. I'm kind of with you. I think they're kind of 1A and 1B to me, and I might give the slight edge to Traylon Smith. There's just something. He's such a perfect fit in this offense. That's not to say that Rakeem, you know, doesn't deserve to be Arkansas's top back, but it's pretty clear that this Traylon Smith is just, I mean, he's square piece, square hole with this offense. I mean, it's evident to me.
I agree. Some unfortunate news coming from Sam Pittman today, talking about skill guys and Devian Warren with the ACL injury. So his season is done. Now he does get to the option if he wants to come back, because everybody does due to COVID-19. But with the injury happening, I mean, Scotty, we're halfway through November. You know, you got to cross your fingers and hope that he is ready for the beginning of football season next year. Sometimes those ACL injuries can take a while, but I do think that that is a blow to Arkansas's offense, not just because, you know, this burst plays that he gives you and the speed that he gives you, but he is another player that defensive secondaries have to account for. You know, Sam Pittman said that they're going to try and fill him in with, you know, Tyson Morris, Treylon Burks. Those are just different types of receivers. Trey Knox. Those are just different types of receivers. Trey Knox is a big body receiver that apparently has done a Houdini and vanished this past the season, because I haven't seen him. But that's just a different guy than Devian Warren, who can take the top off a defense, so to speak. In fact, that he can get downfield in a hurry, and that makes somebody else account for it, especially if you have Warren and Burks on the field at the same time.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate. I hate it so much for Davion. He was finally having the season, you know, that you kind of dream about in college. Like, you know, things haven't gone your way, particularly in the passing game, in terms of catching passes, racking up receiving yards and touchdowns. Like, it hadn't happened his first 3 years. But got to know him, talk to his mom, you know, earlier in the season, and just kind of get to know the human side of him. And I think he's going to have to lean on a lot of the things that, you know, helped him remain patient when things weren't going well early in his college career. He's going to have to lean on that now. And that's his family and his faith, and, you know, trusting his teammates and his coaches and the training staff. He's going to have to, you know, if he wants to get back on the field, you know, Sam Pittman, whether he was healthy at the end of this season or not, was going to want him back next year. And so he's going to have to attack rehab. And like you said, I don't know how long he's going to be out with an ACL, but, you know, hoping that he has a speedy recovery and he can come back. I think another guy that intrigues me, just maybe because we haven't seen a whole lot, we haven't seen him really at all at receiver, is Darren Turner. He's a big bodied freshman who some people in the preseason thought that he could take some of Trey Knox's snaps. I mean, other people have taken Trey Knox's snaps now, but that I think he's a bigger bodied guy, maybe with a little bit more speed than Knox. And, you know, you mentioned Knox and Tyson Morris, and you throw Darren Turner in there. I'm not sure who in that group can take the top off of the defense with their speed like Davion Warren could. They're just, like you said, they're not totally similar players. So it's going to be interesting. I think you're just going to see a heavier dose of Treylon Burks and Mike Woods, to be honest. And then, you know, if you can get Hudson Henry back healthy, Blake Kern, you know, healthy again, maybe playing with a little bit more toughness in the next couple of weeks, I think Arkansas's passing game will be fun.
Yeah, I think so. Excuse me. I think so too. Something, you know, you're just talking and probably is not going to happen, because you don't want to take Treylon Smith out of the backfield. But, you know, maybe you could try and utilize Treylon Smith, depending on how comfortable he is catching passes in a slot, to maybe a few plays a game, try to take the top off of a defense with Rakeem Boyd back there. Maybe that's an opportunity to get him in the game more. I don't know. I'm not Kendall Briles. I trust Kendall Briles a lot more than I trust myself running an offense. All right, Scotty.
Maybe you try to tinker with your skill players like basketball coaches do, with like five guys in their lineup. Like,
yeah.
I mean, coaches talk all the time about wanting to get your best players on the field. Well, if Rakeem Boyd and Treylon Smith are among your best players, put one of them in the backfield, maybe both of them in the backfield. Who's saying you can't put both of them back there?
Right.
And then you put Mike Woods, Treylon Burks, and then who's that fifth skill guy? I mean, that's
I don't know if you want to utilize, especially the University of Arkansas where they are right now, if you want to utilize a tight end there, kind of like how they are right now. And then if I'm thinking that, you're basically gonna have to motion a guy out of the backfield almost every time, you know, maybe motion Rakeem or Treylon, but
that a lot anyway, you know,
it's
what I mean?
True. I mean, they're running Treylon Burks one way and then back another way. And so, you know, there are options, which is a good thing for the Arkansas Razorbacks. It's just that your number one option has gone down with a injury and you're not as deep as maybe some of the other teams in the SEC. All right, Scotty, we're recording this just after 5 o'clock on Monday. The game against LSU is still on. lots to look forward to, but this is a winnable game in the Razorbacks' schedule, especially, you know, out of the next two with Missouri and LSU. That these are quote-unquote rivalry games, trophy games. You feel like Arkansas has a real shot in both of them because they do, but you feel like you really, like, I don't want to say have to get, because you really don't have to get one of these games because you've already exceeded expectations. But at the same time, I feel like the season's going to have a different tone about it if you don't pick up one of these games.
Yeah, I think the expectations through seven games are you should be able to beat LSU. And if you don't, I think there are going to be some people that are pretty disappointed. I mean, you look at LSU, Arkansas opened as a 1.5-point favorite. I don't remember the last time that Arkansas was a favorite in an SEC game. It was probably well before I started covering the team, if I had to guess. Probably when Brett Bielema, maybe the last year that Brett Bielema was Arkansas's coach. I mean, LSU doesn't have a Kellen Mond or a Kyle Trask type at quarterback. And so I think that gives you a lot of optimism going into the week. And Felipe Franks, he's just playing at such an incredible level for Arkansas, taking care of the football and hitting his targets much, much more often than not. You got to feel pretty good. As LSU's pass defense is, buddy, it's bad. It's bad. I think it's last in the SEC in yards per game and last in the SEC in yards per attempt. I think it's like 10 yards per attempt. And so Felipe's got to be feeling pretty good about this. And I think his receivers are probably going to be pretty excited. I'm curious to see what kind of follow-up Mike Woods can have from the Florida game and if Treylon Burks can kind of, you know, maybe get back on track. Not that he played terribly at Florida or anything, but I kind of expected him to be a little bit more of an impact player there.
If Treylon Burks doesn't have 100 yards, we're disappointed.
Yeah, it was a stunner. Upset.
All right, well, for Scotty Bordeline, I am Seth Campbell saying thank you so much for joining us. That'll wrap us up here on the Whole Hog pregame. Nope, pardon me. Whole Hog postgame show. We will be back. Let's see. We'll be back on Friday to give you some insight into Arkansas versus LSU. Fingers crossed that LSU can pass COVID protocols and that game will indeed happen. Battle for the boot. First time Arkansas really felt like they've had a chance in a few years. We'll just leave it at that. Well, for Scotty Bordeline, I'm Seth Campbell saying so long. See you back here later in the week. Until then, have a nice day.